Great, great, great. So here we go. The very first talk of 2025, at least for me. Thanks for coming today. I think we're going to hopefully have some good stuff here. Let's pray before I get any further into this, all right? Lord, I know that you brought us here for a reason. I know we could be doing all different kinds of things right now, but everybody who is here right now has chosen to be here instead of any number of things that could have been done. I ask you, notice that and you reward it. Give us something we wouldn't have had we not been here today or tuned in online today, and help me to accurately reflect your goodness and your truth. Thank you, God, for the honor of it. I don't take it for granted. It's an honor to me to do it. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. First weekend of 2025, and in a couple Fridays, we have the new national holiday of Quitter's Day. Quitter's Day. Let me tell you what really bothers me about Quitter's Day. What bothers me about Quitter's Day is the assumption that you can't change, you can't grow, you can't be any different than you are right now. Come on, let's understand this. Everybody is who they are. And we have all kind of code words for this. It's before this holiday of Quitter's Day came around. There's all kind of code word for this. Let me tell you what some of those are. You be you. Live your truth. That's just who I am. I have to be true to myself. It's unhealthy to try to not be myself. I'm just being who I've always been. These are all code sentences for I can't change. I'm not going to change. In fact, I quit trying to change. Friends, I gotta tell you, that is a horrible, horrible outlook on life. God has blessed us with a life to grow our life. And growing our life means changing our life. I don't know if you do New Year's resolutions or not. You don't have to do New Year's resolutions. Fine if you do or don't. If you believe in the Bible never says thou shalt haveth a neweth yeareth resolutioneth. It never says that anywhere. But I think it's noteworthy that everything in creation grows until it dies. Everything. Everything grows until it dies. We can learn from the physical world about the spiritual world. Also, in the physical world, in creation, there are seasons, right? Winter, spring, summer, fall. And part of me wishes that the new year for most of the world would happen in the spring, because that makes sense. It's like spring, there's new things coming to life. Let's start the new year then, because then maybe we'll make some resolutions or some goals. My hope for you is not to convince you to have New Year's resolutions, but I will say this. Here's the big idea today. If in the course of your life, you don't have a regular pattern where you evaluate your life and you grow, you are spiritually dying or dead. Let me say that again. If in the course of your year, you don't have a regular season when you look at your life holistically and you notice and reflect and set goals to grow and change, if that doesn't happen, you are spiritually dying or dead. And I think it's appropriate, actually, for us that New Year's comes during the wintertime, because during the wintertime is when there's dormancy. During the wintertime is when there's calmness. And the reason why Quitter's Day exists is that when you start to change, it takes a while for anything to kick in, and so therefore, you're very apt to quit, to be done, to be over. Jesus has two scenarios that are very similar to one another that includes fishing and includes nets. Let's go ahead and read one of those. It comes to the book of Luke chapter 5, verse verse 1 to 6, here's what goes. While the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of those boats was Simon, and he asked him to put out a little while from the land, and he sat down and he taught people from the boat. This was a normal crowd management strategy of Jesus. When there was a bunch of people who were around, he would get into a boat and push off from the water, because then people couldn't crowd him and get into his personal space. Because at about 5 feet, they can't go anywhere, or whatever they were back there. Probably average man was probably more like 4'5" or something back then. We've continually gotten larger as you know, we've gotten healthier in terms of knowing what to eat and everything, and supplements and whatever reasons. So at like 5 feet, you're like, you're dying, you're drowning, you can't go any further. So he put out a little bit on the boat just to give himself some distance as the throngs were around him. So here's what it says. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, who's later on going to be named Peter, put into the deep and let down your nets. Very key, nets. Let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, we will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Man, there's five things for you to spiritually grow in 2025. Who wants to spiritually grow in 2025? I'm just curious. Who wants to, it's not just spiritually, how about relationally grow? Who wants to financially grow? Who wants to physically grow? Who wants to emotionally grow? You guys just want to raise your hands? You're like, burning too many calories, don't want to do that. You know, all of those things. We can see something about how Jesus lived his life and how he instructed people as he goes through this. The first is this. Notice your frustrations. Notice your frustrations. I historically have not been a great goal achiever. When I say historically, I mean when I was a younger man. God never gave me the gift of discipline, because there is no such gift of discipline. That's not a spiritual gift that's listed in the Bible. That's not a strand of DNA. You have discipline because you build your tolerance for discomfort and you grow increasingly comfortable with telling yourself no. No, I'm not going to do this. And increasingly telling yourself yes. And as you build trust in yourself, as you do these things, you get more and more discipline. And that's how you grow. That's just a story. That wasn't me. I've talked about some of my story before. Like, nobody who goes 7 years to 4-year college naturally has discipline, right? That was me. Actually, our executive pastor, Darren Yates, says to me a number of times, says, man, you, Brian, you play up a bit too much the playfulness, your playfulness aspect, and the sense of freedom and fun you like to have, but you play that up maybe too much because people don't understand that you have, like, you're a very, very disciplined person. And I am. But that's not my history. 7 years of college, discipline. Lib and I, we got married. We thought, well, hey, let's get on a budget. Everyone says we're supposed to get on a budget, right? So let's figure out how we're supposed to be disciplined financially in order to get ahead. And we had this thing where we had these envelopes, right? These things you used to lick. Like, you'd lick them, and then you'd stick them down, and you'd put them in a little box with a stamp on the corner. You'd put it in. We took the envelopes without the stamp, and we would take cash. I don't know if you've heard of that before. It's these rectangular pieces of paper that have green ink on them and numbers in the corners, different denominations, and we would have a budget and say, okay, well, this much is going to go to clothing. We have a clothing envelope. And then we'd have an entertainment envelope. We would have a food envelope. We put this one in. We felt so good and so disciplined doing this. And then we didn't follow it after the second paycheck. And so we just said, well, forget that. Let's just live our life. And we ran up massive credit card debt and had all kinds of issues with that. And on it went. I've been through a number of things with church that I've been involved with where the church has needed to additional funds, and we've had sort of a commitment above and beyond what you're regular to give. We're sort of in that thing right now with the push, with our push commitment, and all of us who are part of this church are. Well, our first one we ever did, Lib and I were 22, 23 in the previous church we were in. We were on that thing for about a month or two, and then it's just, no, it just went away. That's my history. You have to build your muscles for follow through. Build your muscles for change. And part of what you do to do that is you notice your frustrations. This is not a talk. I would never tell you, hey, everyone should just lose some weight. Statistically wise, we probably all should lose some weight. But that's part of why you may have never reached a goal if you ever set a physical goal for yourself. If you like your weight, even if by the charts you're overweight, but you like your weight, don't set a goal against it. If you're happy with however you are, then just don't set a physical goal just because everyone says, okay, I want to lose weight this year. If you don't want to, then don't set that goal. It's because everyone says, well, I got to work out more. What? Do you want to work out? If you don't want to, then don't set that goal. The goals that we set, the place we grow, they're born out of your frustration. You have to notice your frustration. The disciples here, they're frustrated that they don't have fish. They're fishermen, they don't have fish in the boat. And Jesus says, sail into the deep. He notices their frustration. They're so frustrated, they say, I know, we've been all night, nothing. But because you say so, we will. But it starts with their frustration. Now, physically, maybe you get to points where you're frustrated that you walk up a flight of stairs and you're out of breath, and you're frustrated with that. You're frustrated the clothes you want to wear, you can't wear. For whatever reason, perhaps frustration is building, and that might be then appropriate for you to have a goal and want to grow physically. But if you're not frustrated about any area of life, then don't set a goal. Don't do that. You've got to feel it. It's got to be something, but there's got to be something. There should be something. Again, as I said before, or else you're spiritually dead. God has given you a life to steward, to take advantage of. And that means it needs to be grown. One time, he gives a story two times of people who are given something by a landowner. They're stewarded certain amounts of assets. And the third person just buries it. He doesn't try to grow it. He buries it. And Jesus calls him wicked and lazy. When you take what God has given you and all you do is bury it and you try to just keep it or stay static, we are wicked and lazy, because people who are growing are trying to grow the thing that God has given us, whatever it is. But you just got to notice what you're frustrated and say, I'm frustrated here, so this is probably this year something that I should grow. Second thing, this is a good one here. Listen to Jesus. That's a good one. Just listen to Jesus. That's always the answer in church. Jesus says, set out into the deep. Remember he said, set out into the deep. The reason why some of us don't grow spiritually is we don't want to go in the deep. We want to stay in the shallow where we can stand. People oftentimes go, oh, the cross isn't deep enough. Brian Jones teaching deep enough. And what they normally mean is, I'm not hearing a Greek word I've never learned before. There's not a theological term that I'm not hearing before. Like, ooh, it's interesting. I'll tell you what, we take people real deep. We take you that's uncomfortable. That's what's deep. When Jesus says go in the deep, he's talking about we're going to go to depths where you're uncomfortable and you don't naturally want to go. We have to listen to him. I have a friend who he and I were talking while we were doing the push. If you're newer today, we finished a journey a couple months ago where we committed above and beyond what we regularly give for 3 years to fund things in the kingdom of God and bless people and 10x the impact of our church. And a friend of mine, I told him what I was thinking, what I was going to do. We're that close. And then he told me, well, here's the range that we're looking. He gave me the dollar figures. I said, oh, cool. All right. And then a few weeks later, he came to me and he said, hey, I'm just really stuck what to do. Do you know do you have an opinion on what I should do? I said, the first thing that popped in my mind, I think Jesus put it there. Like, I believe God speaks with me when I have a thought pop in my mind that I generally wouldn't generate and Jesus would approve of. Then I go, God, talk to me. So the thing that came to my mind, I said, you know, the thing that just popped in my mind is the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. And I don't think of that, that means you better give until it hurts. I think where the starting point is just for you to see how good God's been to you, that you've been given a lot. And you, whatever you do needs to come out of gratitude. And I listed for him some of the things. And then he ended up doubling what his uppermost range was. And I talked to him a couple days ago. He said, man, I got to tell you, my whole life, so I'm a little ashamed to say this, but my whole life, I would say I've only heard from the Spirit of God four times. And two of them have come since I made that commitment. And he just went on about the impact in his life. See, what happened was he listened to Jesus. He went into the deep and new stuff is happening inside of him. And this is how I feel, how we feel as a church right now. God has given us a lot through all of our commitments. And we feel the burden and pressure, too much is given, much is required, to see maybe God will use us for an awakening in our region. We want that to happen. And what that means is I've got to do some things different. We have to do some things different. And it's going to take a while for that to actually happen. They had to row the boat out into deeper water. It takes a while. I'm just going to stay on the physical goals just because many people have them. And also because there's fascinating parallels between the physical and the spiritual. Do you know why the reason why most of us don't set goals anymore, or at least the reason why we don't set physical goals anymore? It's because when we set a physical goal, our body is in winter and it will take a while to actually come to pass. Let me explain this to you physiologically in case you don't know this. Your cells expand when you gain weight. And when you start losing weight, your cells stay the same size, so they resist weight coming off. And when it comes off, you're so hungry, you just keep eating more and putting it right back on. To go even further, to complicate things even more, your body, your metabolism doesn't want to lose weight. Very clear. Your body, your metabolism does not want to lose weight. The organ in your body that burns the most calorie is what? What do you think the organ is? Tell somebody beside you. What's the organ that burns the most calories? Brain. Right. Exactly. The brain. This is why we don't want to hear complicated things. This is why we don't want to hear things from the other side of the political aisle. We're like, oh, I got it. I understand it. I don't want to hear this perspective. I don't want to change it at all. Because our brain is telling us, no, synthesize it, you're going to burn calories. Our body doesn't want to burn calories. It's a survival mechanism. It's why when we do study, we don't get thirsty, we get hungry. We're burning calories. In the same way, your body is wired to not burn calories. So when you start eating less, your body changes and it doesn't eat the fat off of your body. Something else happens. It eats muscles. It keeps its fat stores. Because it says, no, we got to keep this fat for an emergency. So it's only after a period of time when you change your disciplines of eating, all stuff, that your body goes, oh, hold on. This is the new normal? Oh, okay, we don't have to hold on to all this fat anymore. We're going to start shedding this fat. You have to go through a period of winter with disciplines that you don't get any benefit from until the change comes. That's why on the front end, you have to be committed long-term. You have to believe, I'm frustrated, I want this to change, and whether it changes or not, I'm listening to Jesus, and my body matters to him, or my finances matter to him, or my relationships matter to him, or my occupant, whatever it is, it matters to him, and so I'm going to endure through winter. Am I getting anybody's number yet? And see, here's what happened. In our culture, we don't have a spiritual orientation or a spiritual framework to understand this, so we don't endure through it, and then we create quitter's day because you be you and nobody can change and we are the way we are. No, that's not true. You just have to fight for growth. You have to fight for it and push through it. And when you do, it's a beautiful thing, but very few people do. It's interesting, this year, the first 3 days of 2025 were Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. WTF. That's what it's like when you get on a growth plan. It's hard. It takes a while to kick in. Number three. Try different things. Try different things. When Jesus says, set out to the deep, they're trying something different. You know, your life right now, I don't know if you've thought this way before, your life is perfectly designed to get what you're getting right now. Whatever your life is right now, in any area, your systems of your life are perfectly designed to give you what you're getting right now. Now, you might not even think that you have any systems. You might not think that you have any disciplines. You do. They're the habits, the normal courses of life that you're living. And whatever you're naturally doing right now, that's why your life looks the way it is. And so to get on a different track or on a better track, you have to do different things. You can't just do what you're doing now more rigorously. You have to do different things. And we don't want to do different things. And this is why we tend to not spiritually grow. I'm doing some different things this year. One, I've personalized to who much is given, much is required. And I realized, you know, our staff is wired to have the ministry that we have right now. Like a church that's huge and maybe grows 20% a year, great, wonderful. Our staff and everything else, our volunteers, everything is aligned. That's why we're getting that. We've honed that for 28 years. But when you start talking about an awakening, you need a different kind of staff, or at least some. You need some different disciplines. We have to do some different things. We can't just talk awakening and not change anything about how we operate or put money any differently. We have to have different things. I offered a guy a job who I would have never offered a job to any other time than now. He and his wife, unique, rare gifts, but just not the kind of gifts we would have built Crossroads on, but the kind of gifts you'd want in terms of an awakening. I'll start using terms that just sound crazy, so I won't use those terms. It's an intense spiritual folks that have some crazy, ridiculous prophetic gifts. And I've known him for years and years and years. Like, no, there's a place for you. I hope and you can pray for that too. You can pray for him and his wife. I'm not going to tell you who their names are, but they're important. God knows their names. I don't want to call them out, but pray. They're praying about that right now, and I think we need them. I think we need them bad. It's a different thing. What different things are you going to do this year? You have to have a different, maybe, Bible reading plan. Have you ever had a Bible reading plan? And why, first of all, do you have a level of frustration over not hearing from God? Do you have a level of frustration around not hearing who God is, about not knowing God is? If there's any level of frustration there at all, this is not an obligation. Obligation will never get you to read the Bible more. But if you have a frustration that you seems like God is silent, a frustration that you seem like you're not getting a different spiritual word, a frustration that you just seem to be at a loss, you might have to try something different. That would be a Bible reading plan, a regimented Bible reading plan. I've had one for years. I go to BiblePlan.org, BiblePlan.org. I go in and I plug in what kind of Bible reading plan I want, and they send me an email every single day, and I can then take that email and I can read it in my fuddy-duddy paper Bible, or I can click on the link and read it on the web someplace. And you could customize whatever it is for you. Maybe it's two verses a day. If you never had a Bible reading plan and you do two verses every day, whoo, you are going to grow. Or you can actually go to our app. We have an app where tens of thousands of us get in and we read a chapter a day, and then we journal on it and we talk about it. I had this come up just this last week. Let me read it for you. Just this week, it was a verse about a system of this world that's squashing us, a system of this world that's taking us down. And let me just read you what I said. I journal many days and I share it, and people can read if they want. Many people do. Here's what I said. It said, the New Year's always brings me into a time of reflection and preparation for the year ahead. If we want something different, we are going to have to do something different. And what will never be different is that there's a system in this world that wants to keep us spiritually distracted, relationally disconnected, physically depleted, and emotionally thwarted. This world is grinding us down because it's under the influence of the evil one and designed to do that. To walk in the refreshing and empowering grace of Jesus means I have to intake things into my system that are not of the world. That includes knowing that I am loved and accepted by God no matter what failures I have or who is rooting for my demise. I am not a product of this world. I am a loved child of God who he is using. I work and spiritually grow, not to earn my keep with him. I don't need to do that when I have a heavenly father who has an inheritance for me. These base truths will be the foundation to a potent 2025. Oh, man. Come on. Come on. Who wants something like that? I tell you, if you want something different, you got to do something different. Let's forget about 10Xing our church. Do you want 10X inside of you? You know, this idea of 10X, we didn't invite that and invent that. NASA didn't invent that. The Bible invented that. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was this spiritual great. Daniel and his three friends, and they got renamed to have Babylonian names, and his three friends got renamed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But that's not who they were. They got recruited into this executive training program in Babylon. They said, let's get the cream of the cream in Jerusalem, these Jews, make them work for us, and they got basically in this executive training program. Why was that? Well, let's read what it says in Daniel 1:20. And the king spoke with them, and among all of them, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they stood before the king. And in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king inquired of them, he found them 10x better than all the magicians and enchanters that were in all his kingdom. Let me tell you something. If you want to see an awakening, the Spirit of God go across our region and people have full hearts towards God and get away from their destructive patterns and positive change come to our culture, let me tell you something. It doesn't happen because this big church crossroads does this perfect program. This happens. It happens because you and I become 10x closer to God than we were before. It happens because growing numbers of people have 10x the joy that the average person people have. That happens because the average person has 10x the spiritual power that the person has who doesn't believe change can happen. It happens because you have 10x the communication ability with God and sense 10x more that he loves you and he's talking with you. Friends, we got to awaken ourselves. We got to get awake ourselves before we think anybody else does. Does that sound good to anybody? It does me. My goodness. We need an individual awakening of all of us individually, not a crossroads program. It happens by this year, you doing something different that you weren't doing last year. Friends, if we're not doing something different we weren't doing last year, we're not going to be growing, getting closer to be having the image of Jesus in our life. Four, we need to do multiple things. Not just a different thing, whether it's a Bible training program, whether it's a relational process where you're going to grow relationally or whatever it is. If you want to get to another place at any other level, you have to do something different. You're going to have to do multiple things. Multiple things. Let's say one of the things you want to grow in is you want to grow your life relationally. You feel like you're relationally depleted, either friends or people who you want to date. Well, you're going to have to do a couple things, multiple things. What's one thing? One thing is you're going to have to be interesting because people don't want to be around uninteresting people. Like, no, it's for real. I don't know. You have to be interesting and interested. There's got to be something about your life that's interesting. Like, I don't know what it is, but it should be something. And you have to be interested in people as well. And then another thing is you need to figure out how to add value to other people. Multiple things. You can't just change one thing. And then, by the way, too, if it means you want to have a relationship with somebody who might date you, you have to look, and you're not having any dates, this is going to sound really horrible, but I'm just telling you, You're going to have to look at how to make yourself more physically attractive. I hear it. I'm getting hated on. I know. Hear me. You know, hear me. Listen, I'm not saying you're not beautiful before God. I'm not saying there isn't somebody out there. I'm not saying there isn't somebody out there for you. I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you are frustrated, if you're frustrated, you don't have the dates that you want, and you're a guy, and you want to, if you're frustrated as a guy, like, okay, one of the things you have to look at is, do I make a good first impression? Just look at that. Again, if you're frustrated, if you're not, don't worry about it. But there's multiple things, whatever your area is, if you need to get to another place financially, there's multiple things you got to do, like spend less than you make. That's a good start. Spend less than you make. Or another one is make more money. Or another one is track your money and see where it goes instead of waiting for the credit card statement to come in and just figuring out how to pay it. There's multiple things. It's the nets. Throw out your nets. There's multiple things that we have to do. Isaiah 36:5 says, do you think that empty words are the same thing as a good strategy and the strength to fight? It's not the words. It's not the resolutions. It's not the goals. It's the fight. I'm getting in the fight. And there's too many of us who are just passive and just think, God's just going to bless me and give me the things that I want. He will bless you. And he at least is going to bless you at some point. You have an inheritance that's there. But he also gives you and I the responsibility to fight for the life that we want. The nation of Israel went into the promised land, which meant they had the authority to fight for the promised land. God doesn't just give it to them. And if you want to grow in your life, I'm just telling you, this means you have to fight for your spiritual growth. You have to fight for your relationship with God. You have to fight for the things that you think God wants to bless you with. This is important, man. I'm telling you, there's a lot of folks who just don't understand this. It's a big, big deal. And the fifth thing is that we enjoy being full. Enjoy all the good things that happen. This is the reason why we want to change and grow, because we want a better life. We want the satisfaction of it. That's why I wouldn't say you have to, God wants you to do these things. I don't want to say, you've got to feel it. You got to sense this is the thing that God wants you to tackle. There's only one or two things you're supposed to tackle or grow in this year. But those have got to be things that by the end of the year, you want to go, hey, I made progress in that. That was good. I made traction in that. And you know what? You're going to feel the satisfaction from it. And you're going to feel good. Not just because that thing's better, but you're going to go, man, look at the journey God just took on. I encourage you, don't set 5 goals for this year. Too much. Just set something you feel like God wants you to do. And one of the cues is you're frustrated. You don't like it. Don't listen for me to tell you what to do. What do you want? What's God want you to do with your life? Enjoy being full. Now, in John chapter 21, here we have another example of Jesus and fishing. Jesus and the nets. Check this out. Here it goes. This is now later in his life. Here's what it says. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples, wait a minute, is that the word I'm supposed to read here? No, that's not what I'm supposed to read. What am I reading? Let me look up there. I'm not trying to quit now. Let me do it. I just want to make sure I look. 21 verse 1. That's right. Let me keep going. Just as the day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. And then, if you keep reading here, Peter recognizes, oh my gosh, I recognize him. It's Jesus. It's interesting here. The Bible says Jesus was a fisherman, but the two examples of him fishing, he sucks at it. The two times when he's actually fishing, he's not getting anything. until Jesus gives them different instructions. The first time, head out in the deep. Let's go. Let's go back out. Let's go in the deep. And the second time, he says, cast your net on the right side of the boat. Why would he say on the right side of the boat? It's because the nets have been on the left side of the boat. So he says on the right side, he's saying do something different. Hear the consistencies here? Jesus is telling him he's doing something different. He's putting it on the right side of the boat, and he doesn't like it. He's frustrated. He's frustrated with their lack of fish, so he tries something different. He's open to it. Friends, I want to encourage you. This is a year for you to try something different. Look, hear my heart. My name is Brian. I'm your friend, all right? I'm also your pastor, and some of you look at me as a father figure. I'm saying this stuff not to be a hard ass or be some motivational speaker here. I'm saying this because I want the best for your life. And this is what your Heavenly Father wants. These are tried and true spiritual principles that people who grow and get closer to the life that God has formed for them have done for millennia. And for some reason in our culture, we think it doesn't work. For some reason in our culture, we think you can't change. We think it's a bad idea to grow. We think it's a bad idea to try something new. That's because we accept just quitting. And I don't mean quitting a bad vice. I mean just quitting trying to grow. Friends, this breaks the heart of God. And it's actually breaking us too, because our life just gets dull and void of meaning. And we're not enlisted in a great endeavor because we're not spiritually fit and equipped to do the things that God needs and wants us to do and that we want to do and have the joy and fullness of pleasure that comes with going, oh man, look who God's making me. Look where I'm becoming. Jesus never quits. He goes on a cross and he says, it is finished, but he never quits. It's one thing to say, I'm finished. I got to the end of my race. Jesus got to the end of his race. The Apostle Paul said, I set out on the race mark before me. You can end your race. So there comes a time when your race ends. There comes a time where you are finished in the work. But that comes because you don't quit. Every day you get up and you say, this is who God wants me to be and where I'm going to go, and it's going to be hard and it's going to take a long time. And that's what people like me do, because we have a vision that's bigger and beyond the normal humdrum thing. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to stop. I am going to become all that God has destined me to be, whatever that is. And it's going to be beautiful, and it's going to be joyful, and it's going to be hard, and ultimately it's going to be fulfilling. You figure out, what is it? What is it? I know there's something, friends. I know there's something. And don't let somebody else tell you what you should do. I'm not telling you what you should do, but there's something you need to do this year. You know there is. You work that with God and get to work on it. And let's 10X our lives together. Who's up for that, okay? Yeah. God, we are sorry for quitting. We are sorry for putting limitations on ourselves that you haven't put on us. We are sorry. We are sorry that we do not exemplify the courage and the tenacity of our Savior or the models of our faith. And while we say sorry for that, we also say right now, hey, this year, some of us are saying, this year's going to be different, God. Where you lead me, I'll follow. And I'm not going to back down. And I pray these things, we pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.